they hate. And I know better than to listen to the people who are calling us mates.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name's Brian, and today is Thursday, May 2nd, 2024, and this is episode 689 of the Lots Project podcast, and it's titled Says Who. I'll be chatting about who sets the standards, some things I've been pondering about that, some TSA shenanigans, a recap of Delinquents Gully progress yesterday, and a ton more because a lot of stuff has popped up since I've done the show prep for the day. So let's get into it. Let's check in with the coffee crew, see who's hanging out in the live chat. Grab a cup and hang out for an hour. Good morning. Good morning. How is everyone? I hope everyone is well. Pip was in way early again, as always, 2:30 Friday Eve. Happy Friday Eve, humans. About to fire up some GSD coffee from Food Forest Farms, which is always a fantastic idea. But he said it's going to be a little bit. Come back at 2:50, another 20 minutes later, and he said that new coffee maker needs a, or that spare coffee maker needs a deep clean. You always want the clean coffee maker when you're making good quality coffee, for sure. K-Bonk, good morning. Thanks for stopping. Rewilder Life says she needs to fire up some coffee herself. She's pooped from yesterday. Looked like you got a ton done from the pictures you posted in the Telegram chat. Good morning, Hunter, hanging out over on Twitch as always. Digger, thanks for stopping. Appreciate it. Yeah, what's in my cup? I got some more Hectar, the Light Colombian, and it is fantastic. Nice, light, and smooth. It'll get you going in the morning. It is everything I look forward to in a cup of coffee every day. Can't beat that. I thought I knew what I was doing with coffee. I worked at a bunch of coffee shop, well, one main coffee shop, a bunch of different locations for a while. I took all the coffee university. I knew a lot about the beans. I knew how it was made, but I always thought that my Folgers with a little bit of cinnamon, a little bit of nutmeg was just fine. It tasted like Christmas. It was okay. I mean, it was okay. It was okay, I guess. I got compliments on my Folgers with my little spice it up trick, from family members that would come in from out of town. And I thought I knew what I was doing until I actually realized I didn't, and tasted micro batch air roasted coffee, and it's phenomenal. So I definitely think you should check out Food Forest Farms. Hop on over to foodforestfarms.com, use LOTS 10, 10% off one-time coupon, or LOTS 5. If you already rolled that one, you already know how good Brian's coffee is. And if you've done that, you should be looking at the C4 Club. If you taste this and you don't sign up for the C4 Club, you're just wrong. So I got that much confidence in it. So check it out, foodforestfarms.com, LOTS 10, or if you've already used that, LOTS 5. Check it out today. I appreciate that. Brian appreciates that, and he makes a hell of a cup. Pickle Pete, speaking of the man, the myth, the mystery, scrambling, Pickle Pete, or One Take, or Food Forest Farms, whatever we want to call him. He loves Caribou. Caribou's good. Caribou is quality. Their Lamanita Peaberry was really was a solid bean for sure. And when you got it there, and back when I mean, they were drum roasted, you know, the char factor was there, but they didn't over, I don't think they made their batches when I was working for them. I don't think their batches were too big. I think that I've always thought the Starbucks tasted burnt to me, like a mouth or a cup full of charcoal on top of the coffee. And once I realized, or once I learned more about air roasting versus drum roasting and the whole process, I realized why. And I believe it's probably because, and Brian, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but is that because the large batch, they have less control and they char the living shit out of it? And as Caribou was growing, they were still drum roasting, but they were drum roasting smaller batches, which had more more control over the roasting. Rewilder Life says, is air roasting or sure roasting better? I'm guessing if you're talking air roasting, clean stream air roasting is about the best you're going to get, from what I understand. And what my taste buds tell me. Air roasting, yes. I would say yes. Health-wise, taste-wise, flavor-wise, yes. Air roasting, go for it. Anyway, I have a bunch of stuff to go. Right now, I want to, I forgot, yesterday was, Pickle P says they sourced higher quality beans. A drum, still a drum. Okay. All right. So if it wasn't the batch size, so they, because now when I taste Caribou, even before I started drinking, drinking air roasted, as Caribou progressed, they, it felt like they went more to that charred burnt taste, even in their lighter roasts. Is that a function of just expansion, growth, and buying shittier beans for better margins? Is that how that went down? Because that's bullshit. Because the Laminita Peerberry that I used to get for my my stipend, I used to get coffee every week because I worked there, and I always picked the Laminita Peerberry. Yeah. So... Yeah, let's move on. I didn't mean to get into that this morning, but yesterday was May 1st and I forgot all about it. And you guys know that I get to give away five or 10. I don't know. Let's see. I'm going to give away some of these YouTube membership tiers. 10 each month. I can give away 10 giveaway gift memberships. And I'm why won't it let me do it? What is going on here? I'm sorry, guys. This is riveting live stuff. Usually there's a little button that I push that just shoots them out there, but guys, I don't know. I'm going to have to figure it out, and we might roll it tomorrow a little bit, unless that button is right here. It says I have 10 to give away, but it won't let me give them away. This is stupid. Anyway, let's move on. I'll have to figure that out another day, guys. I am sorry about that. Yeah, sorry. I was all excited to do that because I forgot yesterday, and it resets on the first of the month when I could give away these five, and I can't even choose who I give them away. It just like randomly populates anything out of our 2,400 subscribers. It just throws 10. They might not listen to the show. They might have watched like my earbud video 2-3 years ago and don't even know what channel it is. All of a sudden they have a free membership. I think it would really be more preferable that I was able to give them to people that are here every day. Weird. But thanks, YouTube. Let's talk about more frustration from this morning. That's already bad enough. But I woke up this morning and I've kind of been talking to you guys about the TikTok affiliate stuff that I've been going through with the appeals and the violations, because I didn't intend to use this big loophole to sign up for a TikTok affiliate status. It just kind of happened because I did other things. I was selling hats and other products on there as a seller, and that automatically qualified you for an affiliate account. They kind of went on a manhunt for all of these accounts, and it was all up in the air. And it's been kind of bopping around for a week or more where all my stuff was in appeal. I was still able to post and tag items. I was still able to earn commissions, but I saw the writing on the wall. So I started withdrawing my commissions daily. TikTok's cool like that, where as soon as your commission is settled, Usually 2 weeks or less after you make the sale, depending on the item, if it's returnable or what. You can withdraw daily. It costs you a nickel per withdrawal. And so I was going in and I earned a total of $55, and I was withdrawing it daily. As each sale day came good, I would withdraw it. And I'm glad I did, because I woke up this morning and my whole account was suspended. Not my whole TikTok account, but my whole creator account as far as affiliates, they shut it down. And it also, I believe, froze all of that stuff. I have a zero balance. I have no pending commissions. I was able to withdraw all my stuff that I made, $55 in total for the month. But yeah, they shut me down because I don't have 5,000 followers. I don't have 5,000 followers. But they also shut down my, I'm really limited on my seller account, which is bullshit. Thanks, Norman. Which is bullshit, because I would like to sell products there. I'm not necessarily affiliates of stuff, but actually sell products. The original intent for me, original intent for me was to sell products. And now that's a question too. So I'm just like, yeah, whatever. It is what it is. This is a prime example why all of these revenue sources, the Amazon affiliate program, the Amazon influencer program, TikTok affiliates, all of them, you have to look at that they could be gone tomorrow. If you're doing them and you're doing them consistently, and you never know what rule you're going to break, what change in policy you didn't notice, and you said the wrong thing in a video and now your account's gone. Or in the case of Nicole Sauce from LFTN, accidentally, her mom accidentally using her affiliate link, and they just roped her account because that was not good or against the rules or whatever. Amazon's like the United States government, in the fact that you're probably doing something illegal every day and you don't know it, multiple things. Even if you don't know it, you probably don't know all of them, even if you know you're doing some things illegal. But there's just so many rules and so many regulations and so many things that you'd need a team to keep up with them. Now, are they all very frivolous and probably not going to get violated? Probably not, but you never know. And you could wake up tomorrow, it could be gone. So that isn't... it is what it is. It is what it is. And that's how it happens. Rewilder Life says, does $55 buy 5,000 followers, 5,000 bots? There is a huge movement. I was browsing this morning, and there is quite a bit of chatter in the group I was in. There's 3,000 people. There's 3,000 people in the group I'm in, and they're like, why don't we all just follow each other? And that's 3,000. I'm like right at 900 or 9,000 or 1,000. I don't know. It's well below 5,000 is what you need. Could I buy the followers? Yeah, there's techniques that once they started talking about shutting this down, once they started talking about shutting this loophole down, people were like, well, you can just run ads on TikTok and target the ads for follower growth. So, yeah. Yeah. Rewilder Life says, crazy part is I see big folks get away with the rules on Amazon. But, yeah, the rules suck. I mean, Amazon's a business, too. You got somebody that's bringing you in hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of sales revenue in a month. They're not going to, I mean, who benefits from that? Who benefits from that? I don't know. So it is what it is. It is what it is. It takes another thing off the plate for the time being, really. It'll be a while before I have, it'll be a while. Mike's Homestead said the time to find and follow 3,000 specific people would be ridiculous. No, they were going to post a video or a series of videos and have everybody comment on the video and then just do like a follow all the commenters on here. Or they were going to do a block live stream where they were going to have three or four different people that you could follow that would live stream and then go in and follow all the people that follow them. Like there was an efficient way to do this. Most of the people in that group are not, I don't want to say they're scammers. They're not like spam bots like you get on Telegram, but they're people that figure out how to work the system. There's all sorts of techniques. It's not a hunt and peck. It wouldn't be a hunt and peck thing for sure. So anyway, let's get done with that. That was just something that I woke up to this morning. So that was interesting. And I mean, I guess it kind of ties into, not really. It ties into what I was going to lead with today, the topic. And I've been thinking about this for a few days in a few different ways. And then it all kind of landed together in a convergence of different ideas. So I was coming at this thought from two different ways. And yesterday it kind of sunk in. Corey and I got talking about something and dress code. That's where it ended. I don't even know how we got there, but it ended up in dress code. And like, I'm like, I just don't see myself ever wearing a suit again. Ever. I don't see myself wearing a tie again. I don't see myself wearing... Yeah, I just don't. And it was kind of a thing where I was like, well, I can just choose not to. I can choose not to go where it's required. I can choose not to get a job that it's required. I can choose. Like, these are choices I can make. And the fact that I don't own any of that stuff anymore, it was funny. We both brought dress clothes. I think Corey still has like her minimal, like, need to go now dress clothes. Mine ended up being stored in a bag that ended up pushed against a wall in the camper, and it got wet and it got moisture in the bag. So it all like mildewed. And it was a suit jacket and pants and a tie, a couple ties and a shirt. And I just tossed it. I was like, fuck it. I don't want it. I don't want to wear it. And so this is how this started. And I contemplate the other avenue that it came from quite often. And that is language. Speech, cursing, bad words, naughty words, and all of that. I often ponder that because I don't give a shit. It is what it is. If there's a bunch of kids running around, or like I can use appropriate language if I have to. Like I don't blatantly curse for the sake of doing it. It's just part of my vernacular. But if I purposely concentrate on it and I know I'm in a situation, I can control myself. But I've pondered a lot Who came up with the curse words? Good morning, Mike, Philippine Nomad. Thanks for stopping in. I got your pictures, man. That was sweet. That was a cool series of pictures. Thanks for sending that. Before I move on here, Pickle P says, I bought an actual pair of shoes this month so they'd let me in a Vegas steak joint. The steak was eight times the new shoes, and it was delicious. That's great. That's great. So I contemplate a lot who decided what the naughty words are. And I look at like TV over my lifetime and the shift into what is allowed on TV. So when I was a kid, I think if they said the word damn on TV, I think it was like immediately bleeped out or put on a different channel or put after a certain time. I remember you could have certain things after a certain time at night. I think it was like 9 o'clock. So you get all your kids to bed before 9. But who decided what those words were? And, you know, George Carlin had the famous bit about the 7 words you can't say on TV. Why? What does the word fuck? What is that big deal? It means a whole lot of different things. And if you trace it back, you got the meaning. But who along the way said this is a naughty word? Shit. Whatever. There's dual meanings to words that are sometimes curse words and sometimes not. I often ponder who came up with it and why these words are. And this is just shit that fills my brain. It really is just stuff that... When my brain should just be relaxing and not doing anything, this is the stuff that pops into my head. And I'm like, I wonder who came up with all the swear word list. And why? Why? What was the purpose of it? Well, yesterday when Corey and I were talking about dress codes and work dress codes and this and that, and Corey, I think she said it, what really got me thinking was, she's like, if I walked into an office and everybody was in sweats and comfortable clothes and they're all at a desk working away, I wouldn't have ever thought anything of it. And I'm like, who decided that a suit and tie is formal dress? And when? And why? Who gets to decide? Is wearing a suit comfortable? Or is it, it's not for me. Maybe some people like it. I don't know. And good for them. If they want to wear a fucking suit, rock and roll. But who decided that formal wear is a suit and tie or black tie event? You can't come in here without a sport coat. Who picked that? Why didn't they pick? Why didn't they pick a bandana on their head and a cutoff T-shirt and jeans? Hunter says a well-tailored suit is amazing. For what? Planning comfrey? What's the purpose of your well-tailored suit? Because it's visually appealing? Why is it visually appealing? Because you've been told it is your whole life? That a guy in a suit is more important than a guy in a T-shirt? Why? And who? And who started it? Hunter says, hell yeah, I look great. And you feel great. But why? Is it a chemical reaction in your brain? Is it a Is it a conditioned response? Why don't we wear fucking powdered wigs anymore? What if somebody had decided that loincloths were the dress up and anybody that actually wore clothes was stupid and lazy? Where does it come from? And is it just instilled in us generational to generational on TV and advertising and all across the board? Is that where that comes from? I don't know. I don't know the answers. I haven't worried about it quite long enough yet to look it up and really try to figure it out. But those are just questions I was asking myself. Who sets the standards? Pickle Pete says, morning Backwoods Butcher. You missed the morning when I talked about my TikTok suspension. Pickle Pete says, fucking closed-toed shoes. Yeah. If I want to weld in my Birkenstocks, let me be. It's self-correcting if the rule is real. Yeah. I mean, I've done enough fucking welding and I've burned myself enough, not just on my shoes, but on my arms and face and chest and legs, even with clothes on, that I think you're insane. But more power to you, man. More power to you. I also know that I've done a lot of industrial work where I've looked at my work boots after I'm done and they're cut to shit and I wouldn't want my feet that way. Those are self-correcting rules, just like you say. I would give people the advice and say, hey, this is what happened to me. If you want to avoid it, these are my suggestions. But that's more a functionality thing. What's the functionality of a suit and tie? So you can fucking hang yourself because you're miserable. Just leave that fucker on and spin it around and rip it around the fucking pipe. Is that what it's for? I know somebody made that analogy that you put your chains on every morning. Tie it up tight. Choke yourself out. Choke the living life right the fuck out of you every morning when you put your suit on and walk away. Pickle Pete says, now a forest machete, I'll wear boots. Hunter says, I burn rod in some very fancy shirts that I got from the Goodwill. Yeah, exactly. I had a t-shirt collection that was through the roof from all the bartending I did and vendors and things dropping off shirts. And I just accumulated shirts over and over the years. And yeah, the pinholes. And you don't necessarily see them until you hold it up to the light and it's just like all the little pinholes through the whole shirt. You're like, huh, maybe I should throw that one away. And then they get bigger and bigger and bigger every time they go through the wash. Loco says, I was a suit for all of 4 years of my sales career, jacket and tie in the Cali and formal Aloha shirt and slacks in Hawaii. Hated every day of that dress code. Yeah, it's rough. Chris Dixon says, a tie is just the leash, your master cut, because he knows you aren't going anywhere. Right? Wait, what? Pickle Pete says, you see, folks, I have not seen this. Don't tell me what I've seen. you see, folks. I thought it said you've seen, folks. You see, folks are now wearing bow ties vertically. What the fuck? Get me into the fucking woods, man. Just get me into the woods where I can wear my pants and, yeah, I don't know. Chris Dixon says, all my shirts look like that. When I can put a shop or a finger through them, they become shop racks. Yeah, Corey wished that was the case. When she met me, I had t-shirts that like the whole armpit seam was gone all the way around the side. So it was like a big hole from the sleeve seam all the way down the side. There were like holes in all of them, but I wore them under like button down Dickies. Under button down work shirts or uniform shirts and stuff. And I would just wear them until they literally fell apart. And I'm pretty sure she snuck them into the garbage quite a bit because they would go missing. And then we had a coming to Jesus moment where I threw out like, what are the like 18 gallon totes? Several 18 gallon totes of t-shirts were just like gone. Bye. Loco says it's tees and shorts now for the last 15 years and no formal occasions events for about 7 years. And that's where I've kind of, that's where I kind of have landed. If you need me to dress up to go somewhere, it's not someplace I need to be. It, like, really, what do you want me to do that I have to go do that? Pickle Pete says, but they multiply in your college to bet your full gun. No. I'm on a buy one, get rid of one kind of system at this point. So that, I have to, we're on space conservation and not outer space conservation, like actual space conservation. And Corey, I love her motive for staying within her limited space is she's just gone to all, I've talked about it, that she's gone to the SOE bags. So she only can get so many t-shirts in her bag. That's her t-shirt bag. And she can only get so many pants in her pants bag. So that's what I hope to go to. Like, I do have a little wiggle room with my cabinets still in here. I can fold them a little smaller, stack them a little higher, but I pretty much stay on the laundry rotation. I'm like, we're a once a week laundry right now, plus a few days. Rewilder Life says right here, weddings and funerals. I just have a black dress. Hubby has one black pair of pants and a button up, no tie. He refuses. I don't foresee myself wearing a tie ever again. Really? And if I have to, like, I'm guessing there's some funerals that I'll have to attend I'll have to wear a button down shirt. I just will. Yeah. I guess or a really nice t-shirt. I could buy a really nice t-shirt. But yeah, it's weird. It's weird. I'm done with weddings. I don't think I'll have to live quite a while for like the kids of the people that I would attend a wedding to get married. I think Corey and I went to a wedding and we were like, hey, this is kind of like the last of our limited circle of friends that's getting married. So I don't think we have any more weddings to attend ever. It's cool. Pickle Pete's wondering if anybody needs a nice tie, order some coffee and he'll send you a free Jerry Garcia tie. Backwood says he's worn the same shirt and pants to every wedding and funeral since I got married. I think most of us in this world, if you're not dressing up every day for work, you just get that one pair of dress clothes. Do you keep it in a clothes bag, Kyle, like a garment bag, so they stay really nice? I don't have dress shoes. I'd have to buy dress shoes. Yeah, Loco says he doesn't own a formal jacket nor dress shoes. Oh, Rewilder Life is wearing a formal dress this fall as a groom's... Wait. You're a groomsman and you're wearing a dress? Are you on the male side? I'm cool. I think that's an interesting concept. I don't follow a lot of standards. I don't follow a lot of norms. And I like our wedding. Our wedding was more formal because of other people than us. Corey and I were like, yeah, fuck it. We don't care. Like jeans. We told people. So our bridesmaids and our groomsmen wore jeans and a suit jacket. And that's what I wore, jeans and a suit jacket, buttoned down with a tie, and cowboy boots. And the girls wore dresses because one of the bridesmaids had a dress because she was like a serial bridesmaid. And so she was like, I don't want to buy a new dress. Like, let's just use these ones. So yeah, the other bridesmaid had to buy one. And so when we put the invitations out, we're like, wear jeans and a t-shirt. Super casual reception to follow in the field in the back of our house. The wedding will be in the field. The reception will be in the field. Don't wear dress shoes. Don't wear heels. Wear boots or sneakers or whatever. But don't like jeans, please. And we literally had several people send us a message. Do you really mean we can wear jeans to your wedding? Not really mean it. We're telling you to, because you're going to be wholly fucking uncomfortable when you show up in heels and a fucking dress, and you got to come out into the field. You got to walk through there in your heels. Ain't going to work. I'm sorry. I was just like, what? Backwoods doesn't have them in a garbage bag. He says it's in a closet, and every time we go to one, I try to wear jeans. I've slowly been wearing Nicole down. Oh, man. Rewilder Life says, now, no, the guy's cool. His wife wanted me in a dress. I was fine with the female suit. I love it. Hey, Corey, you got a new term for dresses, a female suit. Corey says female suits are ugly. She'd rather wear a dress if she had to. She'd rather wear yoga pants and a tank top, I'm guessing. Did I nail it pretty good? Yoga pants and a racer back tank top is my wife's preferred dress up clothes. Oh, anyway, yeah. So that's something I'm pondering. It's been stuck in the back of my head. It's like, who set all these rules? And somebody mentioned it earlier. I don't know if it's K-Bonk or Scramblin' said, it's whoever's in control. But why have we been set on the standards for the last 100+ years? When does it break? When does it change? I see they're trying to change it. And everybody freaks out when they see pictures of the new kids and their style. And they're like, do I think that that the actual gumption of the man inside a lot of these, have you seen the memes where they compare like the 1920s guy to the 2020s guy and what they're wearing, man? The problem is they're not showing a picture of an actual man. They're showing a picture of a pussy-eyed fucking, I don't know, it dressed up in whatever he wants to dress up in, but it has nothing to do with his clothes. Has everything to do with what's inside. Pickle P says there's so many yoga pants YouTube channels. And I'm sure you're watching them for the reviews of the yoga pants, right? Dixon says traditions that no one understands. Exactly. Digger, I like it. Digger says they wore Harley t-shirts and rode the Harley up to the altar. That's commitment. That's commitment for sure. Why not? It's your day. If I want to wear my underwear and sit in a lawn chair and get married, what fucking business is it of yours? And if you don't like it, then maybe you don't need to come to my wedding. Same as if you need me to dress up in a black tie event to go to your wedding, I probably won't be there. I don't know anybody, and I've surrounded myself with enough people that don't think that way, that I don't have to make those decisions. Pickle Pete asks a great question. Did she show up on her own bike and did you leave together? A great wedding ceremony for some motorheads would be like two single-seater bikes. They come in, and part of the ceremony, they install the bitch seat on the back, and either her or him jumps on, and they ride out together. Maybe they remove the seat off the one and put it on the other so they could ride tandem. Maybe they put on a sidecar or something. Hunter says Hawaiian shirts and flip-flops. Pick up your tie when you get there. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of infuriating. What purpose does a button-down shirt, even if you don't go tie, well, we'll have business casual where you got to wear a fucking button-down shirt and a long-sleeve button-down shirt and dress pants and dress shoes to come to work in an office. In a call center. There's this like, oh, well, if you're dressed up, you'll perform better. Bullshit, I'll perform worse because I'm fucking uncomfortable and that's all I can think about all day. Do they have a correlation? Do they have a scientific correlation? I mean, you can make a scientific correlation to anything, but do they have a correlation of the people are more effective when they wear button-down shirts as opposed to t-shirts? Or khaki pants as opposed to sweatpants? Or is that just what they want to make you do? They want to make you uncomfortable. They want to irritate you. They want to keep you fucking agitated. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the traditions are rough. Loco says Hawaiian church wedding I attended. Groomsmen wore tux and beach sandals. Groom wanted to wear shorts, but his mom almost cut his balls off. Why? It's his wedding. Maybe they were paying for it. Hunter says, especially if no client's ever going to see you. Right? Right? It was hilarious to see the people jump through the hoops when they were working from home. And you'd see them, they're like, ah, ha, ha, I'm wearing my shorts and my suit jacket and they can only see me from here up. You're just a fucking tool. Take the suit jacket off and show them how you actually work from home. Chris Dixon says, my corporate performance reviews always contain a dress code point. Yeah. Yeah. K-Bong says, you save the money also. Corey and I had talked about that when she had gotten some different roles throughout her time with her company, was the ungodly amount of money people spend on business attire to go to work, to make money. Sounds kind of counterproductive. Anyway, we can move on. We can move on. I guess, wait, one more from Loco. Yeah, he says a lot of weddings I attend were for the parents and extended family, and the couple were there just for show. Yeah, that was kind of are, I mean, we wanted a party and we had a party, but a lot of the theatrics and circus stuff was for the family. Yeah. Eh, it is what it is. You got to please everybody else, right? That's what we do. Yeah, so there's that. I have a great joke for you guys. Corey forwarded this to me on TikTok the other day. And I chuckled and I was like, I happen to be filling out I have a notepad on my phone that I put show topics on. And I happen to be typing something in and I was like, I'm putting that on the list. So I'm going to tell the joke and I'll give a little bit here for everybody to answer. And then I'll let you know the punchline. So if you're behind, I apologize. But here we go. Do you guys know what the difference between a cactus and a school bus is? I'm going to read some comments while you guys think about it. Drop your answer in the chat if you got one. Rewilder Life wanted to elope. We considered it for sure. Backwoods Butcher says, like I said, all my school work clothes contain meat puns. Yeah, yep, yep. Chris Dixon, my mom was a social worker. She was a thrift store champ. She'd put a wardrobe together for pennies. I used to do that too when I DJ'd weddings. Somebody, when I got hired, so we all had to wear tuxes. We all had to wear tuxes for our weddings, unless it was specified by the bride and groom, they had to wear something else. And the guy I was getting hired with, he's like, don't go buy a big expensive tux. Go to the Goodwill. I went to the Goodwill and got it was a several thousand dollar suit for like $17, including the shoes. It worked great. God damn it. Three of you guys nailed it. All the little pricks are on the outside. That damn cactus. I don't know why that joke struck me so good. But yeah, it was just good. Yeah, what's the difference between a cactus and a school bus? The cactus has all the little pricks on the outside. Kyle says he forgot I was a wedding DJ, and I was a damn good one, man. It was interesting. I thought it was fluff. I got hired with a company because I was basically, it was in a, I was like laid off, need a little extra money, wasn't really laid off, hours cut back, and I was looking for something to do like on Saturday nights, my spare time, always looking for that extra hustle. And I applied for a company that had a Craigslist ad or something, and I went in and I talked to the guy, and he's like, yeah, there's training, there's like 2 weeks of training and this and that. And I said, okay, well, how hard could it be? I had bartended for a decade. He's like, oh, no, shit, we there's a formula that you follow to have a successful wedding reception. There's several techniques, there's several things to do as the night goes on to change the speed of things, to coordinate the time. He's like, it is actually more than just grabbing an iPod and playing music. And I was impressed. They had a really good training program. I learned a lot about manipulation of large crowds. It was interesting. Not a lot of transferable stuff to other venues. It's more of when we talked about wedding receptions, you got a wide mix of people and you have to keep them all entertained and moving in one direction together. So it's not a matter of what you like. It's not a matter of what you think. It's a matter of the whole picture and getting through those 2 to 5 hours and making everyone happy and keeping people around. It works. Backwoods Butcher says, I just imagine you as the singer from Old School. Well, there was a part of the time that I was DJing weddings that I was going through a very nasty divorce. So it was very ironic when I would show up and these people are just starting their marriage. And I'm like, yeah, fucking marriage sucks. It was definitely. And the messed up part was, there was more than one of us that was in that situation in the branch, the office that I, like, the people I work for with our franchise. And in my location specifically, there was only like a dozen DJs for the whole Twin Cities in his group. And I would say four of us were bitterly divorced or currently in the process of separation. It was like the wedding singer. Yeah, for sure. Or the singer from Old School. That guy went to the same high school as I did. Dan Finnerty. The Dan Band. If you never check him out, you should check him out. But it is definitely... It is definitely a skill. I'm glad I acquired it. It's a different perspective. And if you're getting married, let's just say if you're getting married and you're going to have a reception, spend the money on a quality DJ. A guy with an iPod, your cousin that has a great playlist, they're not MCs. They're not going to control a room. They're not going to make the event flow the way it needs to work. Hire somebody that knows what they're doing. It'll be the best decision of your life. Between that and the food, everything else can fucking blow and people will have a good time. If you have shitty food and you have someone that doesn't know what the hell they're doing coordinating the event live, you might make it through and people might have a great time just because you have the right friends. But in most cases, when it's a couple hundred people, hire somebody that knows what they're doing. All righty. He's also the wedding singer in The Hangover. Yeah, he's in a lot of movies, dude. They have a real band. It's called the Dan Band. You should check it out. Pickle P says, newsflash, divorcing dudes need extra cash flow for the suck. Yeah, I know. I know. I used to take my tips to Canterbury and play poker with them overnight because I didn't want to go home. Backwards Butcher says, my wife's uncle did ours and he killed it. I'll send you some pictures. Why doesn't it surprise me that Kyle's whole wedding party gave his wife, his brand new wife, a lap dance to the YMCA? Loco's got a DJ buddy doing corporate events and college crowds. We did do that stuff too. We did bar mitzvahs, bat mitzvahs, corporate events, holiday events. And they're all different. You have to be able to read a crowd real quick. And our service was really cool because we met with the people first. Like we had, I think it was two weeks. Kyle was the Indian because he didn't need a headdress. He just had to take his shirt off and his horse tail served as a headdress. But it was like 2 or 3 weeks before, I think, minimum, we had an actual interview with the bride and the groom. There was a questionnaire that they filled out when we started or when they signed up and put their deposit in. And then we did an actual, it usually took like a half an hour to an hour interview with them to really dial in what they wanted. And then we were supposed to take the next 2 weeks to make notes and figure everything out and make up a game plan. Yeah, you could usually just, with the note sheet you took for the interview, you could just walk in and roll. But yeah, it was pretty good. It was pretty good. Pickle Pieces, Kyle must have braided his back hair for the big ceremony. Yeah. He had a full headdress. We had props. We had a flow that we did. It was great. I mean, I don't think it would take a little bit, but I think I could get back into it. Not that I want to go do wedding receptions by any means, but event, like running an event like that, and emceeing, I guess emceeing would be the main thing, even without the music. So I don't know. That was fun. Did you guys? Okay, I can save that one for tomorrow. That's not time sensitive. But yesterday, went out and helped Tim out at Delinquent's Gully. He's wrapping up, close to being heading back to Canada. He's off to another event this weekend, and then back for a few days, and then on his way north to the motherland. So we're kind of trying to wrap up, what he wants to get accomplished and figure out what he wants to get accomplished here at his cabin site. So yesterday I popped out and we started construction on his bathhouse. Pip says I could see Brian and Tim doing a skit and an SRF. Skit? I think we just ad lib and it would turn out all right. But we started a second structure. So when Tim arrived, I think he said he's been here 57 days between going to events and being out on the property, which is a significant amount of time, a couple months. Chris Dixon says he's been referring to Canada as the old country. And John Palmer, the motherfucker is cold land. I like it. But anyway, when Tim showed up, basically he had an 8x8 enclosure with a 4-foot front porch on it. Now he has a 16x16 inside, which is now convertible into 3 rooms, a 4-foot x16 porch on the front and the back. And yesterday we got the majority of the work done on a second structure that will be pretty much kissing corner to corner, that will house a shower, a composting toilet, a small efficiency washer dryer combo that they found, which is really cool. It takes like 350 watts. It's I think it's going to be a solid investment. And then, get that enclosed, and that'll kind of be what we'll wrap up. We got a few things to fix up on his roof that got messed up on the main structure. And other than that, it'll be just me progressing forward with tinkering with his stuff and making it work as time progresses before they get back down here. And it's coming along. It's definitely coming along. I got home last night and I was looking at the pictures. I took a few pictures from our progress yesterday and I was like, I wonder how long ago it was, because I remember making a video last fall when Tim and Becky both were on their way down for SRF and we were going to have the work day. We wanted to get that little 8x8 cabin up when Tim and Becky had, Chris Dixon asked if we got the roof leaf fixed or is that a work in progress. That's that is going to get taken care of when he returns from North Carolina trip. We wanted to start getting that structure up. So basically we have to button up the structure that we started. We got 3 walls. We got the deck and 3 walls up and the front wall framed. 3 walls up and sheathed. And the 4th wall is framed out. And all we got to do is sheath the front, do the roof, install the door and the window, and we'll be good, and then fix the roof leaks. Yeah, that's what we got. Timmy made a mistake because he was rushing by himself, and he's like, God damn it. We thought we were going to be able to figure it out, and he's like, God damn it. But, it's going well, and I thought back, like, when I knew they were coming down. I needed to clear a spot. So they picked a spot in April. I think they came down in April. We walked around And we picked some spots, some possibility spots for their main cabin, for some offshoot cabins, for campsites and this and that. Summer got kind of sideways and it grew in. There wasn't a whole lot of progress. We didn't have a lot planned to do over the summer. And then they came down for SRF. We were going to have a work day. So I headed out and I remember having to knock down all the growth between April and October in the area that we were going to build this cabin. And so I went and I took a video prior to knocking it down. And I remember taking the video and posting it. And so I rolled back through YouTube and found the video and was watching it. And as I was panning through the screen before I knocked everything down, I saw a stump. And you're like, well, big deal. Well, I recognized the stump and where it is now. And I took a screenshot and sent Tim the screenshot and the link and said, dude, 7 months ago, that stump is that's the stump that's behind your back porch. And it looked just like a jungle. Everything was overgrown. Everything, there was nothing there. It was just an old logged out property. And now there's a livable cabin. And when I say livable, I meant Tim stayed out there for the whole time he was here, other than when he went to events. So it can happen fast. Bree Wilder's going to find out. We're going to find out. We're going to, when we plop our cabin up on top, we're going to find out. But it was cool to see that progress and cool to see the progress that was slow. And then all of a sudden we got the 8x8 up on work day, and then work kind of was what it was over the winter. We worked on some other things, trails and things like that. And then when Tim came out and we discussed what we wanted to do, man, bam, it just happens. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of carrying things in. And the beauty about it, when we finish it or when we get it to where it's going to sit for a while, we'll take some pictures and some video. Everything in that, every piece of lumber, every piece of metal, every screw, every block, every piece of furniture, all of it has been carried there in one way or another. That's pretty cool. It's satisfying for sure. It's satisfying to stand there and look at it and go, yeah, this was all carried in here by hand. And he's going to end up with electricity, water, a shower, a toilet, a comfortable bed. When he's in town, he can have internet. Going to have cooking capabilities. It's man, it's pretty solid setup. I'm glad I'm part of the project for sure. For sure. I'm excited to see where it goes. We discussed a lot of really cool possibilities for the near future with the property. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Rewilder Life says that's going to be a really cool story. You may need to write a little booklet, a how to. Folks need it since housing is too expensive, or folks just don't want to be tied down. It all depends on where you're at, really. We're lucky that the building and permitting and all of the codes and things like that are very lax if you're willing to just build it yourself. We've seen a lot of people run into issues with prefab structures, like bringing in a shed and setting it. Well, that's just like bringing in a mobile home, and it has to be to spec. If you're willing to carry the stuff in and build it from scratch, they don't really care much in a lot of the areas locally here. And there's pockets across the United States. And Rachel said, I might need to write a booklet. I and I've discussed it with Tim a little bit. We're thinking about possibly making a dedicated channel for just the property. Not sure. Rewilder Life says, that's cool. We can't build anything without a permit, but you can camp in a tent forever in a year. Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. It is solid. Hunter says he wishes he's closer, man. It won't be long and these will be available for rent. We'll be doing all sorts of education stuff there. All the permaculture projects you can even imagine will happen on that property. And as a guest on the property, you can take part. And when I'm on the property full time, I'd be more than happy to educate anybody. Add on a biochar tour or a nursery tour or whatever we happen to be doing. Off grid water pumping, or maybe you want to be left alone in the woods and you just be disconnected. So it's exciting. Pickle P says, I can build 200 square foot without a permit. That's the plan. Structures 1 inch apart. There's ways around. Reviler says, they will get permitting and exact licensing and all the proper paperwork for everything they do on the property. Yeah. Well, anyway, guys, we're at an hour and six, and I'm sure Scramblin's waiting to get going and rolling and waking you up, Seattle, out on the West Coast. I'm going to wrap it up for today. We're going to get out of here, and I got a bunch of YouTube videos to make. Now that I can't do TikTok affiliates, I can focus more back on Amazon and YouTube until I have 5,000 followers over on TikTok. Meh. I don't know. It is what it is. It was what it was. I made my $55 and I went. Anybody wants to know what I learned from TikTok shop, reach out. I'd be glad to discuss it with you and maybe put you on the right path. If you got 5,000 followers already, they really closed down the loophole for anybody less than that. So regardless, guys, I appreciate everybody listening. And if you enjoyed the show, it's always free to hit that like, share, and subscribe. I'll try to figure out how to get these free membership values out or membership giveaways out tomorrow. I don't know what was going on there. But to return value for value, please consider joining one of the YouTube membership tiers or listening on any value for value platform like Podverse or Fountain.fm. You can also find us over on Noster. Oh my God, I never checked the Noster feed this morning. Oh, where is Jim? Where is Jim? You can also find me at thelotsproject.com or comfreyroots.com for all the products that we have available. A ton of information about me at thelotsproject.com, along with partner companies, affiliate links, and recommended products. It's Thursday, guys. All we got to do is make it through till tomorrow. Then it's Friday. Friday is the end of the week. Friday. I hope you have an awesome day, guys. Get a bunch done. It's rolling into May already, guys. We're getting close. We're rolling through the year. We're getting close to getting out there to Delinquent Scully and building a nice old cabin. So stick around for the ride. I will talk to you tomorrow. I can see the light. I can feel the sound.